How's it going, West Liberty? You are listening to WGLZ 91.5. My name is Sean, and if you are just now tuning in with us, I'm here on the line with Greg Deffenbaugh. He is the executive producer of the 10 and 11 p.m. newscast, as well as the all digital platforms at WPXI Pittsburgh. And today we were talking about, you know, his day in the life of his career and how his job interacts with the elections, especially with all the craziness going on right now. But I want to shift a little more into WPXI's digital platforms, Greg. You said you're the executive producer of the Digital Content Center. What kinds of things do you produce out of that center?
So the content centers are assignment desks mixed with our digital producers. And at night, I'm in charge of making sure that the information that comes into there is put out for our viewers, both on our website, mobile platforms, and streaming apps. This center runs 24/7, so I'm in charge of it from 2 p.m. to 12 a.m. Excuse me. And what I make sure is that when there's breaking news coming in or articles coming in or reporter stories, anchor stories coming in, investigative stories coming in, is that we make sure that we get the articles put into our system, which is an online platform that we publish them through, and that pushes to our website. And then we have the option to also do push alerts, which you get on your cell phones, which I'm sure many people have these days, because it's just another app for your smartphone where the TV stations have the opportunity to send push alerts. In fact, I just got one from our station about the Steelers-Ravens game saying it was still scheduled for this afternoon. And then we also can put weather alerts through those push alerts too, which several people probably got this past week due to the snowstorm that came through. So what we do is we want to make sure that we're updating our website constantly, because that is where the industry is going. Digital is very important to us. And one of the things that you'll see a lot on the on-air newscast, the TV newscast, is that we always talk about our streaming apps. And our streaming apps are basically, it's the WPXI Now app for your streaming device. So that's Amazon Fire, Roku, any of those which you prefer to have on your smart TV, tablet, phone. And what that is, it's basically just like Netflix, but for the TV station. You can watch previous stories, you can watch newscasts, you can watch sportscasts, you can watch our investigations, specials. I mean, there's a lot of content on there. And that's, Sean, basically where the industry is going right now, is that, you know, we are pivoting away from broadcast TV and trying to do an all on-demand model, which it's not a flip of the switch that this is going to happen, but within probably 5 to 10 years, all your newscasts, all that content, it's all going to be on an app rather than watching it and using most of that revenue that TV stations like. It's going to be more online than it is through your traditional broadcast television.
I actually just read a final about how live TV is going to be streamed in the future rather than, you know, hooked up through cables or antennas or satellites. So it's interesting to hear, you know, somebody in that professional field say that as well.
Some of the markets, television markets, and what I mean by that are cities, that these TV conglomerate groups own. We're owned by a group called Cox Media Group out of Atlanta. Station's been owned for decades by this company, and they've treated it very well. They're focused on a lot of community journalism and impactful journalism, which is proven successful for many of their stations. But if you look at other cities, such as, I'll just pull one out of the air because I know they've already made this transition, Oklahoma City, they're changing to a different way of broadcasting. And with this different way of broadcasting, it's how they send out their signal. And all the TV stations have signed on to this new platform, and it's transitioning from market to market. Pittsburgh just hasn't made that move yet. In fact, I don't know the timeline on it because it's a very rigorous process. But it's it's a new way of sending the signal to where the TV stations, like you said, it's going to be more of a streaming platform rather than a broadcast platform. And it, you'll have to buy, and the new TVs have a lot of this, they're called smart TVs. So you probably have seen new commercials
like,
for
them. Are those things like Amazon Fire Stick, Roku, Apple TV?
No. No, and that's the interesting part. It has nothing to do with those. It's all about the TV itself.
Oh, okay.
So the way the TV gets the signal and the way that it comes into the device, the TV station is going to be able to give you more options. And it'll be, you know, when I say TV station, I mean all the affiliates in that market. So ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. So it will be basically a menu, say for your smart TV, it's a Samsung, and it will have, I'll just use the Wheeling market because I know this TV station's there. So you can see WTRF. So it would have like a menu for WTRF, and then you, and it would show like all of the content for that station that they're sending out. And WTOV9 would have its own menu, and it would send all the content for the station that they're sending out on that menu. So it's similar to an Amazon Fire Stick, but it's built into your TV, and then that content from the TV stations is already there because it's already being broadcasted out through a different form of broadcast. Now, with that being said, there is a caveat to this. The TV stations are learning more about you. They're learning more about your viewing habits, and they're going to be able to sell advertisements based on your viewing habits, similar to how Facebook does.
Is that, yeah, I was going to say, is that any different than what Facebook or YouTube or
it's Instagram exactly the same
has been doing, you know, for years?
It's exactly the same. And with these new smart TVs, you'll sign in with an email address. And so basically, they're learning more about the consumer and what the consumer wants. It's called a consumer-driven platform. And so they'll learn what kind of news philosophy you like, what kind of news content you prefer. If you watch more sports content, it's going to give you more sports content from the station. If you're a weather nerd like me, you're going to want to watch more forecasts and weather specials. So, for larger markets like a New York or an LA, and I'll even put Pittsburgh in there because we have a ton of content we're putting out every day through our content center, it's great. But for the smaller markets, it will be a while for those smaller markets like a Wheeling, a Steubenville to make that transition. But look for it in those markets within the next 10 years because they can always get more content from their parent companies, which is what many of them already do.
Yeah, yeah. It's really awesome to hear a professional opinion about that. And it's like, in my opinion, that doesn't even bother me, the consumer-driven content, like you said it is. Apps and devices have been doing that for years, and we're really familiar with that already. So, you know, what's the harm in one more? I have an Alexa in my room. That's the same, you know, it's the same type of thing.
Yeah, and if you really think about it, you know, a lot of people do have concerns about, you know, Facebook and all these Alexa, all these companies tracking them. I don't see this as a tracking. I see this as, it's funny, I said Alexa, my Alexa turned on. I see this as, I mean, there are going to be those privacy concerns that people are going to be concerned about. But for journalists in particular, this tells us the type of journalism that communities are interested in. And that's what I am interested in.
Right.
I understand there are concerns, and, you know, I would hope that, and I do have faith in that my parent company and my managers and further down the line, when this does launch in Pittsburgh, which I don't know when that is, I don't know when it's going to launch in Wheeling television market, but I do know it's launching in certain markets across the country. When it does launch, I, from a journalistic ethical standpoint, I know that we would be using that information for good and not bad.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear you say, especially as someone so, you know, high ranking in Pittsburgh's market and Pittsburgh television market. As we're wrapping up, Greg, I wanted to sort of ask you, what kinds of careers do you see coming to the industry with this changing market, this kind of converging media? What kind of careers you see coming in the near future, in the long-term future, you know, for when I'm out of college and ready to go into the workforce?
So what I always say, and this is the philosophy I had when I was, you know, in your shoes and looking for internships and just getting in my interest into this business, is how much can I learn in the little time that I can learn it? Because the more you can do in this medium and the more you can do in journalism as a whole, the better off you'll be. And what you're seeing now is a lot of these TV stations, if you're going to stay in local news or if you're interested in local news, a lot of them are starting podcasts. A lot of them are, you know, focusing, they have their digital platforms. They have their broadcasts. They're, you know, we do photo galleries. A lot of them do short stories when it comes to just visual arts. So the more you can do, the better off you'll be. And what I mean by that is if you can shoot with a camera, if you can edit on software, and what I mean by that is edit packages, stories, and that's like, you'll see, I'm just going to pull this out, like iMovie on a Mac, but we use a different program in TV. That's just a generic one that a lot of people use to, you know, make homemade movies. But if you, the more you can get yourself familiar with all the different platforms and learn those in college, get the internships, the better off you'll understand how prepared you are for the journalism world. Because when I'm talking about a reporter, just in within my station, you have to understand, they're not just putting a story together. They're tweeting, they're on Instagram, they're on Facebook, they're putting a 10 o'clock package together, an 11 o'clock package together, a web story together. They're trying to see how they can forward that story the next day if it needs to be forwarded the next day. They're also making sure if there's any developments overnight that we make sure our morning team is going to be prepared to follow that in the morning for our viewers that have to wake up early. So it's just not, you know, I'm working from 2 to 11 and I'm done. This is a 24-hour cycle of, you know, how does this story continue, or what's the next story, and how can I make sure that we're reaching viewers on every single platform that we have? So familiarizing yourself and learning about all the different types of it's almost, I'm trying to explain it through a radio standpoint because I don't have the visual, but it's almost like a spider web, because you go down so many streams and by familiarizing yourself with all those different things, the more successful you're going to be and the bigger your web's going to be.
No worries.
So for people to understand, or for students to understand, you know, radio's great to get in to learn about, because that's podcasting. That's the future right there of that. And I mean, radio's, you know, already made that transition to satellite and doing different platforms as it is. And it's proven quite successful in some areas. And, you know, like TV, it's struggling in others. So podcasting is a great opportunity for kids interested in radio, because you're able to be creative and cover topics you want and tell stories differently. And there's no time frame on that. And then, so kids that are interested in that, go down that road, learn all that, and then keep that under your tool belt. But also remember, there's so many other aspects that you can learn. I would encourage students to take as many communications classes as possible, not only journalism, but in the communications field, such as interpersonal communications, cultural communications, because the more I feel communications classes you get, the easier it is to understand different perspectives out in the community. Okay. Listen, I can give somebody a camera and a microphone and say, okay, go shoot video, go do an interview. But if you don't have the background of, say, that neighborhood that's an underserved community that has these challenges, and learning about the different aspects, different perspectives, you're going to struggle more than the other person that's taken, you know, different courses to understand those areas. But looking forward for students where you are right now, I think taking as much in as possible, learning about digital media would be a great asset, and learning as much as you can about that, because that's where the industry is going at this point.
I love that you said take as many communications courses as possible. I took one mass media, it was about mass media and a survey of mass media. And one of the things that made it, that class made very easy to understand, is the converged media. And I think that's how we were able to talk so well about, streaming, how live TV fits into that, where your social media fits into that, what kinds of things your digital content center does. So I really appreciated that. And I appreciated that we were both on the same page there. We're going to be wrapping this up. Greg, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for sitting down, talking with me, taking the time.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much. And that'll be all the time we have with Greg today. So thanks so much for listening, and Merry Christmas, WGLZ 91.5 West Liberty.